Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Have you been seriously injured? Mama Justice is here for you. Our medical team partners with top-notch doctors, surgeons, therapists, and urologists, ensuring a comprehensive recovery journey. If you've been injured, call Mama Justice today. We're here for you.
From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between, Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green. Here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal, on Super Talk Mississippi.
Hello, hello, hello. Yes, indeed, my friends. 'Tis December. Can you believe it? Well, yes, if you take a look at me on supertalk.tv today, you will notice that I have been a bit more festive than usual. That is all thanks to my guest today, of course, the one and only Mark Peaches. Patrick, good morning.
Good morning.
Afternoon. Good whatever you are, whenever you're listening. But we are here on a Saturday morning that is, well, pretty chilly.
It's brisk.
Brisk out there. Good morning, Lance. How's the
Buenos
world?
Dias.
How is the world today, besides chilly?
No, it's good.
It isn't as cold as they predicted, so that always makes me happy.
That is a good thing.
Yeah, that'll make you feel good about yourself when you wake up and it's not 28, it's 38.
Exactly.
Yeah,
thank
man, I'm going to get there. I'm going to get there this morning.
I have reports on the status of my garden, the things that have finally collapsed, and the things that for some reason or another still have not. But I would love for all of y'all to text in today and tell me, or send a picture would even be better, of what it looks like, what has collapsed. Tell me where you are. I need to at least know your zone. You know, we're mostly 7, 8, and 9, but it'd be nice to even know if it was, you know, D'Iberville or Tunica. I mean, it'd be nice to know where we are. That would be friendly. And that'll help us all get a picture of what's going on in our world of, shall we say, brief moment of winter that we have had.
Brief. Very brief.
We've had, since December began, we have had in Zone 8 right here in the center, we have had freezing temperatures each night. Not frigid, you know, drip the water and don't go out of the house type cold, but we've had chilly temperatures. But it's taken this whole time. My basil finally collapsed.
Did it?
I wanted it to. It was the last of some things that you had given me that I have harvested three times. And frankly, it was starting to get, when the temperatures get cooler on plants that are warm responsive, particularly with basil, I find it tastes more like licorice than basil.
Yeah. It will change the flavor somewhat. Yeah, it's time.
Well, how about your house?
Oh, wow. I mean, looking at things going, are you ever going to go away?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's been a long growing season.
I know we should cherish really these plants that are still alive, and I do, but I'm kind of ready for some other things to happen, you know.
Or just take a break from the water hose.
Yes. My goodness.
Wow.
Well, I don't know about everybody else, but we're not going to need one for a few days here in Zone 8 across the South, in fact. Well, today is National Letter Writing Day, and I come to you to tell you that this is also the time to renew your subscription to All Things Garden Mama, and because it's a deal, there's always a deal. Got to make a deal. The subscriptions are $60 a year, but if you send me $100, I'll send you your subscription and somebody for a gift for you. Done, bing, send me, you know, I'll send them a handwritten note. All you have to do is get in touch with me, mamaonair@yahoo.com, and I'll be happy to give you all the info on that. I can't believe that I've been doing this long. This will be the sixth year since I started. This is the third incarnation of newsletters in my career, but this one has been going on for 6 years, and I really think it's the best that I've done.
The new one is a lot of fun.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I'm enjoying
it. I like it.
I have a very good team.
Yes. Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
Now, we are known for the holidays. Mark will be here for 2 hours today. We're going to talk about what's going on in his garden, my garden, and frankly, a few other people's gardens. I'm interested to know a bunch of stuff. And so we're going to talk about various bits and pieces of that. I don't know. How do you say Donna Bailich is an amazing woman? You just say it, right?
You just say it, yeah.
She is Tell me how do we even know? Donna's been here forever, but how do we even know her? She's been the cooperative extension agent in Rankin County for 15 years, maybe longer. I think maybe more. Yeah, I don't even know.
You know, I met her years ago.
In another life. She's a horticulturist of great renown. Her ears are burning. She doesn't like people to say nice things about her.
She does not.
But she sent this particular article about how tough it is to get that phone call in March when somebody says, how do I get rid of that burr weed? It's coming up in my lawn. It's taking over. And it's like, well, it's a little bit late. Tell me about Donna's advice, because hers is really spot on.
It's basically, you know, about applying pre-emerge at the correct time, you know.
There is a matter of timing there.
Once it's there, there's really not much you can do about it, but put your shoes on. You know, everybody calls it sticker weed, because if you're walking barefoot, mm-hmm. it feels like you're walking on glass. Mm-hmm. So what you need to do is you need to pre-emerge. Some people say 3 times a year.
At least 2.
Yeah.
But some people split the winter dose.
And, you know, in Mississippi, you could do it 4 times a year.
You probably could.
Yeah, because there's always something. And it's basically sterilizing the seed mm-hmm. that's laying there in wait that is going to germinate. And you put the granular product down and then you water it in. This sounds really technical, but it does a vapor at ground level.
Yeah, it does.
That sterilizes seed.
Usually to a depth of several inches.
Yeah.
I mean, it's effective. Doesn't stop the ones that are perennial. It's not going to keep, dollar weed from coming up, because that doesn't – I mean, it can seed, but for the most part, it's spread by stolons. So you really do – you have to know who your enemy is. But in the case
exactly.
of sticker weed, there's really not much you can do.
There's
once
not
it's
much
there.
At all you can do. Pre-emerge, you know – stay on top of a pre-emerge. Go to a local garden center where they know they can give you good advice
mm-hmm,
on it.
Mm-hmm.
Do your research. And what a lot of people do, you know, they'll use a pre-emerge to control weeds and grasses in their flower beds. But what you also have to understand that if you're using that in those beds, you cannot grow anything from seed.
That's right. That's right.
You know, an already established plant, it does not affect. It just affects the seed.
Mm-hmm. And it's pretty good stuff. There are a number of brands of this. I have used for several different seasons when I had big problems. I used an organic formulation of the product Preen,
right.
which worked very,
right.
very well. And there are other ones, of course, that are made of various and sundry different sorts of ingredients. But I didn't have any problem with that in terms of it didn't do any other damage. It didn't do any.
Right.
It didn't hurt anything else, and it sure did control. In this case, it was sticker weed, but I also had. I think spurge comes from seed as much as it does spreading around, but I had not had it before, and it's gone now. So I think that had something to do with it, because it was there for a number of years.
Being in the nursery business, production and retail,
mm-hmm.
I think spurge's greatest traveling. Is in nursery containers.
Somebody else's container.
That
is very true.
Yes.
For y'all don't know who haven't seen spurge is the thing with teeny tiny leaves all along the stems. It lies flat like a rosette, and it literally will get entrenched in your lawn and spread on top of your grass so that your grass doesn't have much chance of growing. You're more likely to see it in a flower bed or on the edge of something, but it is a very drought-resistant plant. So if you find that you have a good bit of spurge, you need to understand that that area is not as damp as it needs to be to grow lawn grass.
Right.
Spurge is related to euphorbias.
It's a euphorbia.
I love that family. Poinsettias and all those guys, which, of course, this is prime time for poinsettias.
People always look a little shocked when you say, that's a cousin to the poinsettia, and they're like,
what do you mean?
What do you mean? Stop.
Well, and then we can have arguments about those people that meet every year to argue about the names of plants.
Oh, yeah.
So they have to do all of that.
There's that.
They do that. We just take advantage of them. We really do. We wanted to talk to you today about what's freezing and what's not freezing. I love this. This is a really good question from Bill in Parkinson. What temperature constitutes a chill hour? Now, my understanding, and it's really funny, I was just doing some research for somebody about some apples yesterday, but the definition of a chill hour is time below 38 degrees.
Right.
And it has to be I mean, you don't even start counting it until it's 4 or 5 hours. There's a few things that don't need any, but there are many things like beyond Anna Apple, in if you're in Biloxi, there are only maybe a few things that are going to actually be reliable because of the lack of number of chill hours. But my memory tells me that it is 38 degrees below 38 degrees where it begins to have a chilling effect, chilling.
And people get confused about that because it's not like if it dips down to 38 for
night,
this is consistent. It needs to stay 38.
It's cumulative. Yeah.
Yeah.
It might have three.
Days.
You might have had three nights this week. You might not have three more nights until 2 weeks from now.
Yeah.
They do add up, but the problem is that unless they accumulate in a fairly rapid period of time, you can end up with having to start over again. Things
exactly.
will start to sprout. Yeah. Buds will swell up, and then the chilling hours are useless. So anyway, just a little bit on how hard it is to grow fruit trees. You want to grow fruit trees? January is the time to plant. We can talk about it all morning long, and I'm going to tell you what, it's still tough to do. It's one of those things that you have to be really, really glad. Oh, good question. Is it a paper newsletter? No, I'm sorry, it's not. It comes in your computer. It hits your email every Friday morning. Well, by noon anyway. By noon.
I set my clock by your newsletter.
I'm sure you
do. Is it lunch yet?
Occasionally, it doesn't make it by noon, but that's our goal, and we work hard to get there. The reason that it's not paper is simply expense. I did a paper newsletter for years and never made a nickel.
So, yeah.
You can, and it's fun to write, but I also have to earn a living, so that's part of that. Wow. On the whole business of holiday stuff, we're going to talk about poinsettias. I've got some things I want to tell you about that in my Don't Overwater Indoors segment, which will be coming up in a little bit. But I really, really honestly had not thought about all the people that are out there using their long pole pruners for the first time in their lives to cut down mistletoe. Talk to me about how come we have so much right now, Mark?
Man, it's
thick.
Yeah, it's abundant this year. We don't have any in our yard, but our neighbor has just huge clumps of it all in the trees.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
It's everywhere. It's actually a very cool parasitic plant if you're into parasites, I guess. But it just seems to be flourishing this year everywhere.
I tend to think it can be attributed to the stress on the trees.
Yes.
Because that creates a better environment for example, if your tree bark is dry, it's a little bit crustier, and that makes it a little bit easier for a mistletoe to send its root in or for the seed to stay there long enough to get sprouted. Either one of those things can spread the mistletoe. And I really think that's how we've ended up with so much of it.
Well, and I definitely think that drought – from, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. our previous drought, put a lot of stress on trees. I'm seeing trees that are, you know, 4 or 5 year old trees in shopping center parking lots that have basketball sized clumps of mistletoe.
See, that's not good.
No.
That's not good. That's fighting with the tree.
Right.
Most of the time, parasitic plants like dodder and like mistletoe know fully well that if they kill their plant, they don't have anywhere to live.
Right.
So they're not going to do that most of the time. But they will take advantage of a situation to the point where that tree is debilitated, especially something like a young tree in a parking lot where it's already a stressful environment. Mistletoes do produce through photosynthesis like everything else, but they're not going to get there even when it waters or there's a nutrient in the ground. It's not going to reach them. They have to take it directly out of the plant that they're attached to.
Exactly.
And that's what makes for a parasite. I did not know, and I'm happy that you told me that there's mistletoe on every continent except Antarctica. That tells me there's probably somebody out there right now trying to introduce it to Antarctica just because it's not there. I mean, you know, horticulture people are just kind of like that. We can't help it.
Let's see if it'll grow here.
That's right. Let's see. Let me see.
Let me see.
My neighbor looked over and said, how come you didn't take that plant in? I had a crossandra. And I said, I want to see what it can take. I was like, I know it can't take. It's still alive, though. One side's dead, but the other side's not. I'll take some cuttings. You know, it'll be fine. But I'm curious about that sort of stuff. I'm curious to see how many things are going to start growing again. For example, half of the sunpatient plant, not half of the plants, half of one of the plants is dead, and the other has already sprouted. The other side of the same plant has sprouted new leaves at the bottom already. I don't know what that is. I mean, I know it's plant growth, and it is indomitability, and it is absolutely, you know, crazy to get it growing. And we really do have to help them along. There's, you know.
We aren't discussing how tough cassandras are at my house.
Uh-oh.
Two huge ones.
Huh?
They're
oh, no,
huge.
They're as big as a couch, right? They get to be really big.
Yeah. And they have moved in for the year.
Oh, no.
Yes, they have. You know my opinion on certain plants like that.
Well,
not everybody shares them.
No, but if you put one of those drapes of lights, you know, that's the mesh thing that has the lights all over it, on top of it, you won't even notice it. It'll be fine.
Do you know how many volts our house is pulling right now?
Oh, dear. I don't even want to think about it.
This is crazy.
Y'all, at some point, we are going to put I'm working on a way to show all of you what Mark's yard looks like. A lot of y'all are not on social media, and it's worth looking at. That's all I can tell you. It's a spectacular collection. It is eccentric, and I can see why the neighbors are, you know, paying attention to you.
Yeah, well, I told Nelly
999 Heated Pool Boulevard
is right over there. Heated Pool
exactly.
Boulevard.
That's
where
yeah.
you can run by any time and check it out.
So and those things will be on, and they'll be spinning, and they'll be
dancing, and
they'll be carrying on. It's just wild. It's just.
And if you hear about a rolling blackout in Rankin County,
you'll know where it came.
I had nothing to do with it.
Nothing at all. That's funny. You know, I think that there are a lot of plants that we want to grow, and we're just not sure what to do with them. If we don't have that greenhouse, we drag them inside at times when they're dropping their leaves all over the place. My lemon tree is awaiting its decorations with lights and ornaments and whatnot. But I am going to have to prune it because it's already starting to drop its leaves in the house. And it was time to prune it. You know, I was just going to try and wait until after the lights and ornaments came off.
But, man, it had lemons on it this year.
They were good.
Oh, my gosh.
It's a great year for them. I work so hard on that, and then I hear from people in my email of, oh, you should have had some of ours. We had, you know, 4 dozen lemons on one tree. And you think, maybe I should just borrow other people's and stop trying to grow mine. I don't know about that. You know?
I've never gotten intrigued enough to try to grow a lemon.
Paula from Dentville says, hey. So we
hey,
say
Paula.
Hey. We say, hey,
good
right
morning,
now.
Paula.
You know, that's an interesting question. Which ones do you want to grow? Which ones are you willing to fool with?
No.
My mother grew a kumquat in the corner of the garage forever just because she liked kumquats. It was never warm enough, but she just grew it anyway. She and the kumquat didn't know, so it was fine.
Right. Yeah.
Anyway, this is the Garden Mama Show. Mark Peaches Patrick is here. Lance is here. And I'm here. Thank goodness you're here. We'll be right back.
One day, there must have been some magic in that old silk hat they found. For when they placed it on his head, he began to dance around. Frosty the Snowman was alive as he could be, and the children say he could laugh and play just the same as you and me.
All of us at the Mississippi Propane Gas Association are committed to providing you with the best possible services and affordable values. We operate in a way that assures a safe, reliable, and economical fuel source. Our trained personnel constantly monitor the conditions of our gas systems to assure reliability and safety. Any repairs or modifications to a propane gas system must be performed by the qualified technicians of your propane provider as required by state and federal regulations.
Energy for everyone. Propane. Visit mspropane.com.
When it comes to returning money to Mississippians, Treasurer David McRae is on a roll. He's already returned almost $100 million in unclaimed money to Mississippians through the Treasury's Unclaimed Money Program. Now, he's refocused the state's college savings initiatives, Max and Impact, to emphasize technical, trade, and teacher-focused career jobs and skills Mississippi needs. Don't let another day go by without getting a jump start on a career or getting back the money that's yours. Visit Treasurer David McRae at Treasury.
The most top.
Y'all are not awake yet? Darlene Love wants you to get up. Drink some coffee. Get excited.
Is that the Spectre one?
Yep.
Yeah, that. What a great
wall
song.
Wall O' Sound.
Yeah. The Wall of Sound. Yeah, I was, doing those. I think we did six of them to start with. But I always, that was one of my favorite. I didn't know it was Darlene, though, when I was. I was like, thank you for picking that one. Because I always loved the, you know, the ensembles that he put together. As crazy as he is. He was able to really glue together some sounds that were revolutionary, that being one of them.
He had a different way of doing things.
Yeah.
And some of it was good.
Yeah,
some
and not very, easy very, to work with. Not easy to work with, kind of like
as Darlene will tell
Patrick
you.
Here. But.
Right.
As Darlene will tell you in her books, it was not an easy thing.
Well, two things that they have in common, Phil Spector and Heated Pool, they have a lot of great wigs.
Oh, well, oh, yeah. That's true.
Yeah. I have hair. I have hair. I do.
Oh, gosh. I don't even want to think about that. We'll talk about that another time, another place. Okay, I will tell you this. When people you think a whole lot of disappoint you over the years, it's rough. I still love Darlene Love. I still love a lot of that music, but oh golly, goodness gracious. Anyway, on to more positive.
There's Heated Pool.
There's Heated Pool right there.
There's his twin.
There he is.
Yeah. What do you call that kind of animation?
I don't know, but I had an 80s flashback last night and watched the entire 1 hour of however long it is of Rudolph.
No, they did the extended one now. It's like an hour plus. The original was like 30 minutes. Yeah, there's all kind of new stuff, I think.
I believe that's stop action. But
that's
I'm
it.
Not
Thank
really.
You. Yes, stop action. Yes. The original stop action. Yeah. I love that. Back when I was a kid, that was the coolest thing ever, was when that came on.
Oh, yeah.
Couldn't miss it.
As they say, it was appointment television.
if you think about it, there's probably... It's probably a lot more difficult to pull off stop action than it is AI.
Oh, goodness.
You know.
I mean, stop action, there was somebody doing that, and you had to get the hands out of the way. And
yeah. I will get back and tell you all about the one that just got made here, but I can't pull it up in my head right now, so I'll get to that in a moment. Looking at supertalk.tv today, you will not only see us in lots of, well, shall we say, holiday fashion, but... There are some really interesting pictures. I was trying to get photos of the things that are changing. There are, for example, Tim Burris, y'all know him from this program and many other places. Tim gave me the opportunity to grow Orangeola Japanese maple. And it does not turn orange until the weather gets a little cooler. And it is magnificent now. So that's part of what you will see. You will also see, of course, the Black Cat Christmas tree, which is one of the best AIs that I've seen, so I brought that to y'all today. I shouldn't compare it, but I can't help it. You know how the living Christmas trees with the people singing and stuff? They're just magnificent, beautiful performances. Anywhere you can get a chance to go to that, go to that. Well, this is... For those of you who are not looking at the television, these are very tall black cats arranged in a similar Christmas tree mode. And my friend that I sent it to, who has nothing but black cats, did not realize I was sending her. She thought I was sending her some kind of goth Christmas tree. She didn't realize it was cats. Wait a minute. I have to explain this one.
Well, then, and you found that for
And
me.
I found
you.
I love that one.
Yeah.
Well, my cat, you know, he's been on a spree.
I mean,
the cat is
Viking cat.
Yeah,
now,
so
I have learned about Viking cats as a result of this. I knew there was such a thing, but I didn't realize they were their, like, Maine Coons. They're their own thing, you know.
Yeah, that's, right. I'm telling you, I got two of them.
Goodness, that's a lot of cat.
Yeah, he is a lot of cat.
That actually looks like butterscotch. I mean, that's in his, you know, hunting mode, and he's purring. He's very happy.
Yeah.
And so when I said,
got the helmet, got the club.
He's got his club and
everything.
Axe. But no, I had said, you know, we were laughing about my cat. You know, he's been on a spree. And I said, he's a Viking cat. And I get this image back from the amazing garden mama. She was on top of it, so.
Well, you know, you have to do these. You have to take care of these things. Paula has sent a picture to show. Well, good morning. That's a nice one there. The Calancho ran into the UPS man.
Oh, Okay.
But it's going to be okay. She's recovered it. Sometimes things happen. But it does bring me to, I wanted to talk about.
What is a calancho?
Okay. Calanchos are the ones that she is showing you, but it's another family of succulent plants that are wonderful house plants for us. They are, for the most part, tropical, and they have, in this particular case, they have fat, waxy, round leaves and a really pretty little crown of flowers on top of them. They are, and I've never grown them commercially myself, but I have grown pot mums, you know, the ones that you take to somebody at the hospital. Take the calancho. It'll last a lot longer.
Yeah.
It will grow. It will live. So you should do that. But anyway, I think they're a wonderful family of plants. It's also the mother of thousands, the one that has all the plants along the edges of the leaves, which, by the way, is trying to take over my office right now.
I still need to get one of those. Like I need something else to take care of.
Yeah, you can have.
I need to be careful what I wish for, don't I?
3 feet of one, I'll give you about 3 feet. You can spread the thousands of plants.
I gave Mr. Joe a haircut to get him in the house.
Oh, good, good.
Yeah, I did.
Now he's got new leaves on him.
He will.
Mm-hmm.
He will.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a jungle in there.
I like that.
It is a jungle. The cats aren't so sure, though. Our one cat, Molly, she's kind of having PTSD because she's like, where did all this come from?
Well,
my Butterscotch is the biggest Christmas cat in the world.
Yes, the cat needs, you know, his own hat.
Yeah, you got to give him, you know, a little space and, you know, Christmassy stuff and see if they light up for you. Mine loves the lights and the red. I don't know.
Settles right into it. So fun.
Just loves it. I mean, he'll nestle in. And then the other one, the Maine Coon, he sleeps around the tree. Underneath it.
You know, oh, no.
Loves the lights. I mean, I think they think there's something going on there, like the aliens are coming.
I need to introduce you to Scooter.
Could be. Well, and of course, my story with the cats at my house is that the new kitten has gotten a little bit older, so she's not as vulnerable to going in and eating a plant that might kill her. So as a result, my office is now kind of slowly moving the plants back into the other part of the house.
Right.
It is not, however, complete, and as a result, my whole office still looks like a plant blew up in it, which is not bad. It's just I didn't realize one thing had wilted yesterday. I looked over and said, oh, yeah, that's back up in the corner.
Look at that.
Pay attention. How do I get my calancho to bloom? This is one of those plants that really does take high light very, very appropriately. So if you don't have it in a bright, bright window or under an artificial light, it's probably not going to bloom until spring when it can get bright, bright light outdoors.
Yeah.
The other thing it super needs is a phosphorus potassium fertilizer, something with very little nitrogen in it. Those waxy, thick green leaves hold on to their nitrogen with great possession, you know. And so as a result, unless you're also giving it the flower fertilizer, you probably won't get too many flowers.
And they're like a lot of other plants, succulents, whatever, petunias, you name it, they're day length sensitive. So I think the amount of light, the hours of mm-hmm. light you give it mm-hmm. will help it bloom more.
We give it 12 hours at my house and they bloom.
12, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, Paul the poinsettia. I've been talking. This is the day for indoor gardening talk, y'all. Paul the poinsettia is now 6 years old. Paul the poinsettia has his first red bracts, and he is 4 feet tall. Speaking of things taking up space in my office.
Wow.
But the good news is that he began as a tiny little, you know, 18-inch tall poinsettia here in the lobby. Was in the trash pile. I took him home. And eventually, the plant perked back up. But it is always a question of will it come back or will it not. Poinsettias are much tougher than they look.
They are.
Unless they've been frozen, you're going to get good results, I think.
Yeah. They are tougher than they look. Fragile, but tough.
As individual little branches. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But when you get to the plant itself, unless you absolutely don't water it or put it in water and let it sit there. You know, you have to give it that moderate environment that way. And it just has to have well-drained potting soil. But it's really not a problem.
So may I share my favorite poinsettia trick?
Please.
People don't realize this. When you bring that baby home and the bracts break off, they will just throw them in the garbage. Well, if you will remove the leaves and then cauterize the end of it.
Now explain cauterize.
You could use a candle, you could use a lighter, and basically
you can use your gas stove.
You can use your gas stove. the end where the latex, the white milky stuff that's coming out, you just kind of burn that end, and then you put it in a vase of water. They'll last for weeks.
They make a beautiful cut flower.
They do make a beautiful cut flower.
But we don't think about that.
No. I love that.
I do, too. I have been thinking of what all to bring into the house from outside, and it has been so dry up until very recently that someone asked me, how can I keep these things from wilting? How can I use these? And, of course, the answer is either a bottle of Wilt Proof or one of those other commercial products that actually moistens. But you can also wrap the ends of things in floral tape, and you can burn them when they're appropriate for burning. I think poinsettias are probably the best example, but hydrangeas, too.
Yeah.
When they're leafy green, can be burned at the bottom, and they will have really beautiful results in the vase.
You know, a poinsettia in a pot on a mantle is beautiful, but if you've ever seen a bouquet of them,
it's even better to me.
In a crystal vase, it's like, wow.
It will impress people. And they don't realize that actually what you've done is to clean up after yourself because the other plant broke.
Right.
Nobody has to know that. It's a secret. Now, on to a couple of other topics. The poinsettia topic is the other thing people talk about poinsettias is, do they have to be red? The answer is no, but why not? I mean, you notice that if you see me today, I have on my poinsettia sweater. It has all red poinsettias. It does not have any other colors on it. But I got to tell you, a pink and white poinsettia is a beautiful plant.
I love it. Yeah,
I think
it
is. They're lovely. They make an entirely different impression in the house, and I think they have a real place.
And there are hundreds of designer colors now. Mm-hmm, I mean. Mm-hmm. It's just a rainbow.
Whenever you see the cooperative extension facilities having their open house for poinsettias, I know that those have been going on here around the state this last week or so.
Yeah.
You can just go in there and take a deep breath and just be thrilled because there's so much. They work so hard to get all of those plants growing to where they can test them. They can they can register how your opinion is about them and also how they respond to different growth procedures. That's why we end up with such beautiful poinsettias because there's a lot of work that goes into making sure they're going to be good.
I was lucky enough years ago to be able to go to a facility in Ohio, one of the large growers, and they had a huge greenhouse, maybe a quarter of an acre or so, full of all the different colors, and they didn't even have names. They had numbers.
Numbers, yeah. I love that.
You know, you were not allowed to bring a phone or a camera or anything in there because what they're doing is they're genetically breeding new colors to see who's going to have the hot new color.
Exactly. Will your red bracts appear sooner, and will they last longer?
And will they travel better?
And all of that. Can they fit into the sleeve better? Is the proportion of the plant correct? I mean, there's so many things that go into that process. It's a joy that you got to see it.
And I have to say, when you see them piled up at a big box store being brutally torn apart,
hurts my heart.
It's kind of sad because people don't realize how much work and effort it goes into to bring those things to market.
You know, this is exactly what we're talking about. Paula found a broken piece of Christmas cactus.
And she did.
And she's going to root that. And of course, I mean, why not? I must confess that whenever I go to places where there is what we refer to as the dead plant rack, it's 97% off, that kind of stuff. I'll go look. And I have gotten some plants. I purchased for 50 cents once because that's what he said the pot was worth, a three-stick thing that the nurseryman didn't even know what it was anymore, and it turned out to be a double blue Althea. It's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
But
you can look up.
And you can also get things that you think, why in the world did I bring this home? But
there's
some of that stuff in our yard anyway. So.
That's why you know people like Paula.
That's right. He'll tell me.
I passed on a staghorn fern to her that I was not being very successful with. And she's just taking it as a challenge.
Well, of course. Of course. Mine is sitting in the front foyer of the house. It is still round. It did not make it to any nothing happened for her. She's just sitting there. But that's okay.
She'll be fine.
She'll make it.
She won't mind.
One of the things that we do want to think about at this point in time, of course, is what you're doing and how it's going. We love getting your texts. We love your phone calls. This is the Garden Mama Show.
Please make this a reindeer. Well, the time is drawing near. It sure don't seem like Christmas. My baby's here. Oh, but don't I ever fill my sock with candy? No bright and shiny toy. You wanna make me happy and fill my heart with joy. Then Santa, give my plea. Santa, bring my baby back to me.
Santa, bring my baby.
Then Santa, hear my plea. Santa, bring my baby back to me.
Between the blue sky and green grass, there's a Mississippi cattleman making sure the food you need is on your local grocery store shelves. Whether it's a big juicy steak or hamburgers for your backyard cookout, our food starts right here. Because for these cattlemen, it's not just a job, it's caring for the animals that make up our nation's food supply. Just one of the many commodities a Mississippi farmer grows for you, the farm families of Mississippi.
Are you looking for a contractor for your new home or remodel? Go licensed. Unlicensed contractors may try to convince you that pulling your own permit can save you money, but they may do shoddy work, or in some cases, no work at all, costing you far more in the long run. Protect yourself and your investment by comparing estimates from three licensed contractors. Remember, go licensed.
For more information, contact the Mississippi State Board of Contractors at msboc.u.
We've sent that rib van.
Yes, Rudolph did make history. This was the story of an underdog who came through with flying colors and brought happiness to millions of children and grown-ups alike all over the world. Well, here's a song especially for all of you kids. Maybe you'd like to pull up a chair and help me sing it. What do you say?
A long, long time ago, as all you folks should know, old Santa started loading up his sleigh. A smile upon his face, each reindeer took his place to bring the children joy on Christmas Day.
Come on,
with one little, two little, three little reindeer.
Four little, five little, six little reindeer.
Seven little, eight, yes, eight little reindeer pulling Santa's sleigh.
You never heard that, did you?
I have never heard that.
Every now and then, I come up with something that's different.
But there's one little reindeer missing.
Now. And Rudolph's missing, so that's what. But anyway, Gene Autry could turn a rock into a story. I mean, all of his songs were like that. Like, what? But anyway, I wasn't in his generation myself, but I appreciate his music. We inherited 78 records, you know, the fat, thick
right.
ones, and that was where his music was. I even have. Gosh, I have all kinds of crazy things in that world. It's some stuff. Really good question. There's a lemon tree on one side of the house and an orange tree on the other side of the house. Do they cross-pollinate? Well, yes, but it only affects the seeds. So that's how we got Meyer lemons. It was because an orange and a lemon crossed. You didn't know that at the time, but when they grew those seeds into a tree, that became the Meyer lemon because it's a hybrid. So the problem that they're having is that the oranges don't taste right. That could
right.
be a reflection of cross-pollination, except that it's more than likely not. More than likely, and I didn't think to write an ask, but I bet you that there's thorns on those branches. And I have a feeling that the top of the orange tree, which is always less hardy than the lemon tree, got killed. And as a result, the plant that continued to grow is actually the rootstock, Citrus trifoliata.
Yes.
It has thorns on it, and that makes an orange fruit that's not really very sweet.
No.
It's very popular among wildlife, and people will make, like, cooking tincture and stuff out of it. But it's not the orange you started with. And that's my guess. What do you think? Am I probably right?
Quite possible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like rootstock on a lot of plants.
It's hardy roots, but it's not the top you wanted. So,
right.
And when
yeah.
you end up with it, you have to think, well. Now, I have known people who took that citrus where the base came up and was all the thorny citrus. I've known people to take other citrus and graft them and end up with three different kinds of citrus trees on that one rootstock just for the fun of doing it. It's not my hobby, but
mine either.
But when you see it and it's done, it's a very cool effect.
Right. Yeah. I mean, actually, I've seen a mail order plants like that, don't they? They used to in the TV guide.
They still do. You can still get like two different hydrangeas on one plant. You can get different things like that. It to me, it's an oddity, and it might be fun to grow. It's just not. I don't know. Interesting.
Yeah, there you have it.
I think that we're looking at Scooter. I think that I'm looking at.
Or is that that's Molly?
Okay, hello, Molly. Good looking living room, but yeah, there's nowhere for anything except the plants.
Yeah,
it's very true.
Yeah. That's the sunroom. That's what you have to go through to get to the rest of the house.
That's great. Oh my goodness.
She's the one having PTSD.
She's not too happy about the situation.
No, she's not.
Paula has got a bunch of pretty things going on. She's got a coleus, and I love this. It's a beautiful pot that the coleus is in, and it's the I won't say who's. Price, but it's reduced price to very, very, very inexpensive, very lovely,
very lovely.
Split leaf philodendron that's about to eat her kitchen. And
I can sympathize with that.
And I can't get out my front door. Beautiful, beautiful yellow shrimp plant. And just to be sure that we're all still looking, a rainbow. So we've got a little bit of everything going on in her photos from this week. That's fun.
I took a lot of photos, but boy, Paula's got me beat.
Well, people that are serious take a lot of photos.
Yeah. Lance has got a photo up, which to me is something that I observed. That was that beautiful black calicacea.
Black magic, yeah.
I'm not sure if that one's black magic or not.
Oh, the other one.
But my calicaceas took a hit, but a lot of my alocasias are still okay.
And y'all, the difference, these are all elephant ears. The difference is whether the leaves stand up or whether they hang down.
It looks like a whole gaggle of vultures on the side of the road.
It's
when
terrible,
I saw that, I was like, what is that? Is that one of those vulture packs they're talking about taking over somewhere?
It's terrible. And I'm having to leave candy for the garbage man because, do you know what 400 pounds of frozen bananas look like?
It's not delicious.
No. And they're heavy.
No, not
they're
heavy. Delicious. Lyman is in Monticello. Good morning. When should I plant buckeyes? Now. If you have them. My favorite way of doing this, I learned from Dr. Stark in Clinton, because he has grown thousands. You take the buckeye, get you a good old 1 gallon nursery can. Everybody has planted something. They got 10 or 15 of them laying around. You want to plant a bunch of these. Put in a mix of leaf mold from your yard, whatever, around the base of the buckeye tree, perhaps, or if it's not in your yard, somewhere else that you got some leaf mold and some native soil. Put that in there. Put in about 3 inches of it in a 1 gallon pot. Put the buckeye on top of that and put another 2 inches of that on top of the buckeye, even three. Leave it alone. Ignore it. And go in the springtime and look at it, and it'll be sprouted. It's a wonderful, marvelous thing. You do have to pay attention if it doesn't rain at all winter. You'd want to water them. But it's not something that Mother Nature doesn't need a lot of interference to sprout a buckeye. You just need to set the situation up.
It's like the adult version of kids growing sunflowers. You basically stick it in there, turn your back, and then boom.
And it'll grow.
Tree.
That's exactly right. Well, I didn't get everything done we wanted to do in this first hour, but the good news is that you will be here in the next hour.
We're going to
have some fun. I don't even want to think about this. I need an organizing system for my photographs, and it keeps me up at night worrying about I don't even know where they all are. Okay, there's some in the cloud. There's some in the computer. There's some over there. There's some back here. Paula has 10,000 photos, including the cloud. See, I don't think I want to know that number.
No.
It's like the number of cookies you eat in a lifetime.
Oh, dear.
They said there's 35,000 the average American would eat. So
here we go on food, too. And guess what?
I'm having some of yours today. I'm convinced today is going to be a cookie day.
We're going to have a taste test today, too.
Uh-oh, what are we testing? Oh, yes, we are. We're having
a taste test. Lance just doesn't know it yet.
No, he's going to have to do this.
You usually bring the heat when it comes to
this. We're coming up in the... We're coming up in the fairy floss world here. We're going.
I'm pretty proud of this one, Lance. I'm pretty proud of this one.
This is pretty good. This is going to be funny. This is there are so many things that we do in the garden that have to do with the rest of our lives. It's part of the reason why I think we actually put all these things into the garden, whether it's four or five containers in the kitchen in the corner or whether it is a 40-acre estate. The headset is the same. Your mind is, I'm going to take care of these plants. I need to take a look at them. I need to see how they're doing. I might need to do something for them. But mostly I can just enjoy their company.
Yes.
And that's really what is so marvelous to me about growing plants. I do like a nice, sharp, clean line at the edge of a building, but I probably like it better if there's a vine growing up it, you know, something with a little texture, some kind of more interest for me, I think is often a good idea. I know you haven't heard this one either, so I'm just going to step aside and say, we'll see you after the news.
Open Season Properties is a full-service real estate company with a team approach philosophy that ensures your needs are of the highest priority, whether it's rural land sales, residential, or commercial properties. Open Season Properties markets and sells real estate in Mississippi, Louisiana, Arkansas, Tennessee, Alabama, and Georgia. And they're dedicated to the development of long-term client relationships and unwavering commitment to service. Go to OpenSeasonProperties.com to learn more.
We are the people, Mississippians. We are the land, growing food, fiber, and timber. We are there when you need us, from the roof over your head to the food on your table. We are small town, but big moments, your next door neighbors. We are the Mississippi Farm Bureau Federation. 100 years and counting. Become a member today at msfb.org.
Hello, my name is Jim.
From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between, Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green. Here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal, on Super Talk Mississippi.
Welcome in, welcome in. Today in history is a very important one. It was 83 years ago. I have to do the math in my head right quick. 83 years ago, the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor on this day. It's not a day that we will ever forget in this country, and it is one that if you don't happen to know a lot about it, I encourage you to find out more about it. Give yourself the opportunity to learn some history and also learn some of the impetus for why we do what we do and why it's all so important. I wanted to talk to you today. There's so many things to talk about in the indoor garden, but I wanted to bring the number one. There are lectures, and I took greenhouse. I'm a floriculture major. I know about these things, but I can tell you that more often than anything else, the professors, the people that I knew that I worked with, also the individuals that I was lucky enough to meet, all said, "Don't overwater that plant indoors." Here's a few reasons why. First of all, it's growing more slowly indoors than it is outdoors. So first, it's not going to need as much water. Your environment inside is a little bit drier, so it may need some water in the leaf. You may want to do a little bit of misting or putting the plants together on saucers full of gravel and things that you can then keep wet. But the plants themselves really, really don't need to be watered as much as you might want to. Now, that being said, It's okay with me if you water a little bit today and a little bit in a couple of days and a little bit in the next day after that, as long as once a month you let the water go all the way through the container and out the bottom. That's called leaching. And the importance of that is it not only changes, not only gets all of the soil wet at one time, which the plant greatly appreciates because all the roots are in there, but it also allows for the exchange of gases inside the soil structure. You can't do that in any other way. So leaching once a month is really important. You don't want plants to wilt, but at the same time, if they're sitting there in water, they may wilt. And you're tempted to water them again, but that's not what's causing the problem. Put your finger in the soil at that point. That will tell you whether or not you've got enough water in there or any at all. The other thing about it is, if you have big doubts and you decide, well, I've just got to repot this thing, go get yourself a bag of perlite. Mix it with your favorite potting soil. It's going to drain better. And if you're a person who tends to grow all in plastic pots and tends to water all the time, perlite's probably one of your best friends. I don't care whether you are growing calanchos or calatheas or peace lilies or philodendrons or the plant that I couldn't think of the name of this week, which is Calicia. It's one of the relatives of spiderwort and tretiscantia, but it is a plant that has those gigantic leaves. It really does sound like it should be a character somewhere. And frankly, when it begins to send out those wands that it has that have plants on the other ends of them, it's a crazy, crazy plant. That's Calicia. Whatever it is that you're doing, don't overwater them. Make sure you got enough light. And if you have to change the potting soil, remember perlite. Mark Peaches Patrick is here today, and we are talking about some crazy things. The best one for me, why would this be now? It's Cotton Candy Day, Mark.
It is National Cotton Candy Day.
Why is that? It's like having funnel cakes for New Year's. That doesn't make any sense.
I really don't know, but, you know, I printed out this great little cotton candy.
Tell me about it, because there's really more to it than I would have imagined.
December 7th is your favorite flavor of this week's delight that dates back to the 1400s.
How many flavors did they have in the 1400s, do you suppose?
I think it was pink.
Pink.
That's the flavor.
I bet it was white. It probably took them a minute to figure out how to make it pink.
They had wine. They could throw them.
But they originally called it sponge sugar.
Well, I guess that's what it is.
Staple at fairs, carnivals, and circuses. And here's one. Fairy floss.
I love fairy floss.
Yeah,
fairy
like
floss. I've never heard that.
Yeah, clown hair, you know?
Yeah. And what the funniest little factoid in this thing that I printed last night, that it was a dentist named William Morrison and confectioner John C. Horton invented the machine that spun cotton candy.
It had to be a dentist.
Is this job security?
It was what job security.
No, it was a dentist that did that.
Their invention.
Every suite has to have a dentist as its progenitor.
Funny. Oh, my goodness.
And the machine was introduced to a wide audience at the 1904 World's Fair as fairy floss. Fairgoers loved it and bought over 68,000 boxes for 25 cents a box.
Wow.
Sounds pretty expensive back then. Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
You could have bought a car for 25 cents in 05 if they had them.
So, Lance, we're going to leave it up to you to taste test all that cotton candy I brought you for Christmas.
I'll do it, man.
I'm afraid of it myself.
There's sugar cookie. There's hot cocoa.
There's so much sugar in there.
I don't know that Lance needs that much sugar, but, you know.
No, we all need that much sugar. A doctor will immediately text in, you don't need that much sugar. I know,
so
I don't.
So will the dentist, you know.
The dentist will be like, yes, you do need the
As it turns out, you actually do.
You know, and Lance will love this one, too. These are snowmen made out of powdered donuts.
When you were a kid, did your mother, did your father, did your grandparents spend a lot of time trying to find something for you to do when you got out of school for the holidays? Well, these are basically skewers that are left over from the barbecue grill with powdered donuts on them with eyes made out of gumdrops or something.
Chocolate chips.
I mean, it's just crazy. But, of course, that would be fun.
It looks great.
You'd love to do that. Put that on a table and have people come by and they go, oh, that's so cute. And then they'd eat all of it.
I mean,
because it's a nice sugary treat for the holiday.
Exactly.
I'm doing a good question in the texts today. A friend gifted me with some crinum seed pods, lucky you, and failed to include any instructions. Well, of course not. You wouldn't have any reason to call me if there were instructions. Any suggestions? Here's the thing. Crinum seed pods are just the same as basically as iris or daylily or any of those. They're nice, hard, fleshy material structures on top of the where the stem, where the flower used to be. So when they get a little bit dry and they begin to crack open, the seeds will come out of them. All you have to do to plant those crinum lily seeds basically is get them in contact with some potting mix and maybe put three or four seeds, five or six, into a 4-inch container and see what comes up. You know, put it maybe an inch below the seed, the soil surface, and water them real good and see what comes up. I would probably do this inside just because you can keep more control over it. But just see what happens. And then, of course, at that point, when they come up, the bad news is it's about 5 years before you can get bulbs, and a little while longer than that before you'll end up getting a plant. But it's a wonderful project, and it really is how so much of horticulture comes into being.
5 years?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And then reach up in the cabinet and get the jar of patience down and have two tablespoons.
That's right. Add that right then. I worked for a professor who was, frankly, old when I was young, and he was a strawberry breeder. And his words to me were always, if you're in horticulture, you will not live to see the results of your best work.
Right.
And that's the same thing as we plant a tree for the next generation. You're really not. You're planting it for you, but you're also planting it because you know it will grow and thrive and be a big thing in the landscape later. It's not going to be right now. There's a lot of those things. It's important to recognize that. We talk about leaving a legacy or... You know, the one thing I don't want is a bunch of dead plants, you know, to be able to have to try and grow them. I don't want to strike out on everything I ever tried to grow.
So basically, gentlemen, go out there and plant some bamboo at your mother-in-law's house and move on.
Yes, keep moving, by the way, because she'll be mad. So. Today is also a good day for me to tell you about the horns of a dilemma that I am sitting on. This is tough. Dark chocolate's benefits are even greater than we thought. Y'all all know that I really like dark chocolate.
Oh, yeah.
Turns out my dark chocolate choices have not been so great. They are not all of them, but some of them are on the list of ones that tend to have a lot of heavy metals in them because they're not finely processed. Now, there's a whole bunch of dark chocolate, and believe you me, I'm happily ensconced in buying the better dark chocolate. But it is one of those cases where if it's real cheap, it's probably not that good of a dark chocolate because it has heavy metals in it. It's in the processing of it. So that's the bad news. But the good news is that the benefits of dark chocolate have been touted to the point now where I fully expect there to be a revolt from the milk chocolate contingent. They're telling us that only dark chocolate can help with our health. And the milk chocolate people would, I'm sure, want to dispute that.
That's going to be the next Pixar cartoon. Dark chocolate duking it out, right?
You're exactly right. It's going to be, I mean, I'm serious. This is a big deal. Can you make dark chocolate hot chocolate? Yes, you can. But it doesn't come in a little package, you know, it might. I haven't seen it that way. But it's one of those things where we're so accustomed to the world of milk chocolate that until you make the change and make it specifically, you don't know. Tell you something else that's different. If you have access to raised eggs from your neighborhood, so to speak, your general area, as opposed to from the grocery store, not that they're not good, but look for the ones in the grocery store that come from a nearby town.
Right.
Because you will get a better egg. It's not because of money. It's about the better of the egg. If I'm going to eat an egg, and I love to eat eggs, I want it to taste like an egg. Guess what? The closer it's grown to you, the more it's going to taste that way because it's local. It's like I've said for years, the most sustainable farms are local farms. Not that they're small, but because the people who live there actually live with what they do. They're not going to do anything that's going to hurt you because it would hurt them and their kids and their families and their animals. They're not going to do anything that's going to tear stuff up because they're going to live there for a long time. So it's those kind of points of view that I hope when you do your shopping this year, you will begin to look at. It's important.
In central Mississippi, and I'm sure in north Mississippi, everywhere, we have a lot of really great local resources.
We have a lot of egg people.
Eggs.
It's wonderful. We're very fortunate.
lettuces,
lots
vegetables.
And lots of vegetables, and poinsettias for that matter.
Yeah,
I mean, they grow everywhere. They're grown by so many of our growers, and then you go out into the market, and they're literally everywhere. You go to other places, you're not going to see as many poinsettias as you do in Mississippi.
Yeah,
we like them, and we grow.
We have the perfect climate for it.
We do. Our greenhouses don't have to work too hard.
Yeah, not at all.
Them going. I have another bit of when you talked about needing to leave candy for the waste collectors.
Yes.
I'm more of a banana bread person myself for them. But anyway, yeah. I think it's real important for us to say a few words about cleaning up as you go out in the garden.
Absolutely.
You know, if you wait.
Excuse me.
If you wait, you'll drive yourself crazy.
I started early, you know, and of course I was getting kicked back. Why are you cutting us down? Don't do that yet. Don't do that yet. Get ahead of the curve. Oh, my gosh, if you let it all, you know.
Mine is the other way. I'm going to wait for it to go. Not the bananas. I'll grant you. Ooh. If I had bananas, I would have cut them down as soon as the really cold weather was predicted, simply because there's so much mess. But I do want to wait. I want to see how things take the knock, take the cold, and see what happens. You know. But there's some things that are just going to overwhelm you. All that alocasia, colocasia, taro, you know, elephant ear stuff turns into soup if you leave it too long.
It definitely does. But, you know, so, I mean, you've been to our garden, you know, it erupts, you know, in April, May. It peaks July, August, and there's so much happening. And then now everything gets, like, you know, basically waxed.
It's a world of perennials and blooming plants.
And it's waxed. And then you're like, oh, wow, I forgot about the evergreens.
They're under here.
There is something here. Yeah, you know. And
exactly.
So after 6 years now, all that stuff has matured.
Mm-hmm,
and you start questioning, do I really need all that other?
Well,
if
and
it
that's
was
really
gone, you would miss it.
There is a style question.
Yes.
But yes, if it was all gone, you would certainly miss it.
Definitely.
I think this is the perfect time, though, to take the photographs around your garden. Because if you are a property owner and you have not done this, you're not going to know when your pine trees necessarily are not as healthy as they were. You're not going to know when one thing is starting to tear up your ginkgo or, you know, some other Japanese maple problem, dogwood, oak. You won't know unless you know what the tree looked like last year.
Right.
So take some pictures. Make yourself a diary, a documentary of that. But at this time of the year, it's really important because you can see where the holes are. If you know
exactly.
If you know there's a lot of color over here in June, but guess what? There's nothing else there except for this tree that also loses its leaves. You may want to think about another plant, but you may want to think about a bench. You may want to think about some hardscape. Exactly.
Yeah.
Something to make that a little bit more interesting and perhaps even create a view later on in the year.
And, you know, I have a lot of hardscape yard art, you know, tchotchkes, whatever you want to call them. This is the time of year where I replace all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not replace them, like get new ones, but like reposition them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like rearranging your furniture when your Christmas tree is too big. You know, you slide everything into the empty spots.
Yes.
Knowing good and well you're going to have to move it once we get to spring.
That's
which,
right. That's right.
Hold on, people. I know everybody gets miserable this time of year, but it will be here before you know it.
Well, and this is actually the best time for thinking about these things, because when we get to January, it's time to prune fruit trees and cut back ornamental grasses and get ready for roses in February. And by the way, did you pre-emerge that lawn? I mean, it just takes off. And I have done this a couple of times, do an actual calendar of what needs to happen in each month. It's really tiring to think about it.
It is.
So you have
it
to,
is.
Better to take it one month at a time and not necessarily look too far ahead. However, if you're interested in things like hardscape, believe you me, the deals are going to be better in December than they are going to be in March.
Oh, yeah. It's time.
There won't be near as many people looking for them.
Yeah.
So you get to get ahead of that.
Definitely. Yeah, and, you know, I'm never going to get caught up.
Well, you're not supposed to.
You help me realize that all the time. It's like,
you're not supposed to.
Don't put so many things on your list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Roll back. Take that list and turn it into a list of three things.
I know. You keep telling me that.
Finish that and then get to the next thing. Well, life is all about pace at a certain point. And the garden, to me, has to give you just as much pleasure as it takes from you in levels of energy that you have expended.
Exactly.
And if my list is too long, I'm not as happy. I don't have as good a time. But if I can get through those three things, then I can look around and go, okay, I got that done. Now what's next? And then I take the next three. Because the other list is still over there. It's just not staring at me.
Right, not, right, right.
That's how people ask, how do you write? Well, you write. You don't think about it. You just write. And then you go back and look at it and make those same kind of measures because it's not always what you wanted it to be. But until you get it out onto the paper or onto the computer screen, you don't know that.
Exactly.
Get it out of your head, into your hands, and onto the paper. Ooh. This is a good one. We'll be right back.
It's a little cracky. I don't know why. Yeah, I might fix that.
When it comes to returning money to Mississippians, Treasurer David McRae is on a roll. He's already returned almost $100 million in unclaimed money to Mississippians through the Treasury's Unclaimed Money Program. Now, he's refocused the state's college savings initiatives, Max and Impact, to emphasize technical, trade, and teacher-focused career jobs and skills Mississippi needs. Don't let another day go by without getting a jump start on a career or getting back the money that's yours. Visit Treasurer David McRae at treasury.ms.gov.
Before heading out in your RV, go through your propane system safety checklist. Take a look at exterior vents and clear away debris and blockage. Check propane cylinders for wear and tear. Inspect all propane appliance connections thoroughly for frays and damage. Make sure your RV has a DC fire extinguisher and propane carbon monoxide and smoke detectors and have the vehicle inspected annually. Remember, always leave repairs to the professionals. Energy for everyone, propane. Visit mspropane.com. That's mspropane.com to learn more.
I'm glad to know that somewhere the big band era is going on and on. I like to think of people in fancy dresses and nice suits, all dressed, you know, going out there and cutting a rug. It won't be me, of course, but I'm very happy that there is somebody out there. Brian Seltzer's orchestra's music is so much fun. It could be, except that it has a very modern edge to it. It could literally be from the era of the I don't know, Benny Goodman and, you know, all of those guys. It was a really fun world of that kind of big band music. Something to enjoy.
Lawrence Welk is about the only thing I remember.
Oh, dear. That's torture. I'm sorry.
It was torture.
For those of you who are Lawrence Welk fans, she did not just say that.
It was torture.
It was hard for me. It's not the same thing to me. Let me tell you about University of Washington research. These folks, I can see them all in their pith helmets and all their gear and going out and looking and checking things out, but they had to get back into their lab to understand what really they were looking at. Hummingbirds, we always think about their long beaks being like straws, you know, because they are. But it turns out very little comparison can be made to a straw. Because these things, the hummingbird bill is flexible. It's not a straw. While they drink, the hummingbird opens and shuts various parts of the bill all at the same time. And the little video of this moving around is one of the most complex organisms I've ever seen. This is so cool. Between the intricate and highly coordinated dance that it does inside of its bill, It's as if they're guzzling nectar. This is not just, we look at the hummingbird next to the plant, we think, oh, that's so cute and so perfect and so sweet. Actually, the hummingbird is sucking it down in a large way. This is so dynamic. I love that. We learn something all the time from these people that are willing to go out and do that kind of research. How long did you have to be studying hummingbirds before you said, but wait a minute, let's see what's in this bill, you know, and started doing all right. of the MRIs and the this's and the that's. And then you have to do computer modeling because you can't do all this to hummingbirds. So, and then you go film the hummingbirds again and go, well, yeah, that is how that worked. Oh, my goodness. And then you have something else you can report to us and tell us about it. I love that.
Sounds a little bit like our mutual friend who is
yes
obsessed with bees and yes. knows so much about bees.
Today is St. Ambrose Day. The patron saint of beekeepers and beggars, by the way, and also of learning and also of the city of Milan, Italy, because that's where he was from. But his beekeepers keep St. Ambrose around close to keep the bees happy and keep the hives productive. It's one of those funny little connections in this world. He was a person who kept bees and took the honey and did good things with it. So that's why he got to be their patron saint.
Nice.
Interestingly enough, yeah.
Well, that all fell into place, didn't it?
It did. I like that. Just as if we had planned it. Andrea's Christmas lights are being eaten by squirrels.
Yeah.
This is sad. It is funny, but it's sad. I appreciate you showing them to us because, well, let's face it, we've all got squirrels, and we have all seen the damage that they can do to things.
I want to know where the squirrels are all summer long. I never see one, and then now all of a
sudden.
They're
at my house.
I'll bring you a dozen
more.
They're
at my house. They spend the summer at my house building nests in the trees in the back, and they call all their relatives, and they get onto the trees at Memphis, and they're able to come all the way south until they get to my yard, and they live there. They are loud. They're as loud as the cicadas at times.
But let me tell you what, schnauzers despise.
Well, see, that's a different
squirrels.
Story. You have trackers and hunters.
They drive you nuts, though.
I have cats that will yell at the squirrels. Squirrels don't care.
The squirrels don't care.
No, not a bit. Let's see. I love this. Before the cold weather this week, I took cuttings from my double pink geranium. I love a double pink geranium. That's a pretty color. Yeah. I like the way geranium leaves smell. I love that kind of, it's a different fuzzy kind of green that has its own very distinct smell. And it's a wonderful plant. You know, by the way, when you get one for Mother's Day or you get one in late spring, put it in a little shade for the summer.
Yeah.
And then it'll start blooming again in the fall. And sure enough, she took cuttings from these, or he did, I'm sorry. I don't want to make a presumption because I don't know. But anyway, the tree is, love the black cat Christmas picture because the cat is currently living in the Christmas tree. I appreciate your patience with that cat. What would be the most successful way to root them? Is it water or is it soil? Either one will work. I tend to like to root things like geraniums in potting soil just because the roots that they form in water are so fine. Those little adventitious roots. Then you have to put them into something to help them get a little stronger. So I like them. I think they root just fine either way, though.
Oh, wow. How many thousands of geraniums have I rooted?
I'm looking at you because I think there's probably millions, but I don't know if you can count that far.
A geranium is not going to respond well to water. It's probably going to turn to mush.
Mm-hmm.
Soil. You know, and an easy trick is to put a heating pad under it.
Absolutely.
And that will,
the ones made for this, not the ones out of your bathroom.
Yeah, don't get the one out of your bathroom, but get one that is made for that.
Go get one for plants.
And that will speed up.
I do think they respond better to small pots and bottom heat.
And that's something that we did. We would cut them 2 or 3 days prior to putting them in
the soil.
Let them callus.
Well, that's good because she cut these so they've had a chance to callus.
Yeah.
So this is one of those cases where you don't make a new cut.
Right. And you only want to put half an inch of the stem, not much more than an inch.
Right. The cutting itself isn't going to be 3 inches tall.
Right.
You know, they do root better. I remember you telling me that a long time ago.
Yeah.
Don't try to root the arm of this geranium.
No. You just need a couple of leaf nodes, you know, about 3 inches long, and then about a quarter to a half an inch in the soil. It's going to just lay there, flopped over sideways, which is probably how geraniums grow naturally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Patience.
Missed it.
Yeah, not very often, though. Mm-hmm. You just keep it evenly moist, and, you know.
That's another case, I think, you have to tell me, where perlite's probably a real good idea in terms of potting mix.
Yeah, it definitely
don't stay too wet.
And it helps aerate the soil.
Now, someone, of course, will send me pictures of their 8-inch long geranium cuttings, which are rooted just fine in water, because I will get that email today.
Oh, yeah, people will.
That's great. That does work. But we're going to give you the one with the greatest odds, and that's going to do
there
it.
There you go.
I had, in fact, it was around Christmas time. I got the call the first year I was on radio. My program started the first Saturday in December. In 19 ago, and one of the very first calls was a woman's son had sent her flowers for her birthday, and she had taken the roses, and she wanted to root them from the because he had sent her the flowers,
right?
And I went into my college educated, florist trained. Well, that's really not going to work, and here's all the reasons why it's not going to work. 3 weeks later, of course, she sent me a picture of the roses rooting in water, still with their flower buds on top of them. This should not happen.
Yeah.
But it was the comeuppance that I needed to understand that everybody can do something, and when it's different from the way that is acceptable and documented, it's probably just different. It's not a judgment thing. It's just different.
Right.
And in fact, I have learned since then to tell people try both.
Yeah.
Because
some
people are better at one thing than they are at the other. That's for true. And I have some things that I can't root in water that other people do. I can grow philodendron vines in water for a year, but peace lilies, I can't do it. And you used to always remember. You used to see the peace lily, and then the betta fish in the
things underneath it. Exactly.
In the water garden.
Yeah.
I killed several of those. Let's see. We have blueberry bushes close by the pass in eastern Yazoo County. If anybody is interested in bringing their bee boxes there, Greg would love to talk to you. So if you want to send us a note, we will put you in touch with Greg. I can't do any of that. I'm not an organizer, but I can certainly. People who listen to this program are generally speaking really nice people, and y'all can talk to each other. I have no problem with that. I hope it turns out, and that you will bring me some bees.
Well, there you go.
Our neighborhood is getting full of bees now. Oh, that's beautiful! Lovely, lovely, lovely. New growth on Paula's. On the staghorn that you gave her, and also the beautiful peace lily that she embarrassed Lance and I because she gave us some, and ours are not as big and pretty as hers is.
There you go. Well, let's talk about those little green guys over there on the.
Let's talk about these little green guys.
Mind blowing.
I'm here to tell you these are December tomatoes, friends, and they're alive, and there's actually some that are ripe.
They are.
This is why we don't give up, and this is why we grow vegetables in the fall.
Yeah.
A lot of times the fall season is better than the summer. Talk to me about your tomatoes.
Well, we had a bumper crop this year. Mm-hmm. You saw them when they were at their height. I mean, we were giving tomatoes to, four or five families, and it was like, maybe four plants, five.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, when I finally just, the mealybugs.
Now, by the way, he does believe in fertilizer.
I do.
This is not just magic. This is.
So, when the mealybugs basically just infiltrated, I pulled them up and dropped in, some bush tomatoes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Kind of at a point where I was so busy, I wasn't giving them any attention. They got very little care. Last Friday?
Yes.
We picked 5 pounds of tomatoes.
And these are bush Goliath. These things don't get to be 3 feet tall. I mean, they're not, they're wonderful, delicious tomatoes, but they're not big old things like your summer plant.
They have been through tornadoes, hurricanes, wind, hail, lightning. It's amazing.
That's wonderful.
And then, just the other day, they finally just bit the dust. 5 pounds. We're going to have fresh tomatoes for New Year's.
I love that.
Isn't that great?
Well, and that's the thing. We're... several weeks ago, up on Cape Cod, one of my garden writer friends had a salad that she had never had fresh tomatoes and fresh kale at the same time.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And my comment in her social media world was, welcome to Mississippi.
Yeah,
that's what
yeah.
we do all the time. We always have these things that don't seem like they would belong. Somebody planted potatoes in August. And he had written to me and said he wanted to do this. Should he do it? I said, yes, go ahead, because he already had sprouted potatoes. I said, absolutely, it's fine. The fall crop will be fine. Well, we all learn about which ones to plant just from eyes and which ones to just plant from tomatoes, I mean, from whole potatoes. And we also learn that you should always buy fresh seed for tomatoes, and yet there's somebody out there who just takes that tomato and throws it in a container and plants the seedlings that come up, and everything's fine. So there's all of these different pieces. The potato crop that he sent me a picture of day before yesterday, I'm jealous of. I should have grown potatoes this fall.
Oh, I know.
You know?
Yeah, that's a fun one to grow,
too. Really, really good year for them. And it doesn't seem like things are as even. Some people's greens have done great. Some people's greens have been kind of bug-ridden, just depending on, you know, the temperature and yeah. the conditions that particular week. So I do think that's part of why we keep going. It's why we keep trying things.
I think I'm just going to throw some lettuce seed out there and go to the house.
I like
you know,
that.
Mm-hmm. Just, mm-hmm. I'm not going to overdo it this year.
Ray and Clinton, he said, y'all write that down. On December 7th, Peaches said he was not going to overdo it in the coming year. Anyway, Ray and Clinton says, what are some cool, cold-weather herbs that I could grow? Well, that's you play into my hand on that one. When it comes to cool-season herbs, we are the kings of parsley. We are the kings of cilantro. We are the kings of green onions. There's just so many things in that herb category, the kitchen garden kind of category. I also, my thyme has still been beautiful. It's certainly not frozen. It's a little bit dry, but that's okay. It will perk back up again. You can plant all of those things, any of those that you can get your hands on at this point in time, either from the garden center or start from seed. Sure, why not? They're ones. Thyme is going to be perennial. Oregano is going to be perennial. But parsley and cilantro and dill are all things that we grow through the winter just like we grow pansies.
Yeah.
And by next summer, you know, they've kind of worn themselves out.
My lemon verbena is stunning right now.
It's beautiful right
yeah,
now.
It is.
It's gorgeous.
It was being eaten by a lantana, which people are like, why do you have lantana? Anyway, we can't go into that. But
Space is a problem.
Once I pulled it down, just lemon verbena is.
It's really lovely and smells wonderful too.
Yeah.
The pineapple sage is doing the same thing. The other things around it have kind of given up a little bit, and the walking onions and whatnot in that space are, well, they've walked. And so they're now harvested and moved on to somewhere else.
And I haven't gotten around to planting my garlic yet. I'm probably a little late, but
just a little, like, 3 months. But on the other hand,
3 months.
On the other hand, when we grow garlic, a lot of times we don't even ever pull it up. We have a couple of callers here that'll tell you, just when I need some, I go out and pull up. I've been there for 5 years. Well, if you've got good drainage, they're not going to rot. They're just going to sit there and grow.
I think that's the approach I'm going to take with this.
I like it.
Yeah.
We're on the Trans-Siberian now. We'll be right back.
Oh, wow.
Before the dawn and home long after the sun sets. We pass this farm work ethic on to our children, too. They have their chores just like yours, but we also raise animals. Taking care of these animals helps them understand just how important what we do on this farm is for their future and Mississippi's.
Another way Mississippi farmers grow what's important to your life, the farm families of Mississippi.
Are you looking for a contractor for your new home or remodel? Go licensed. Unlicensed contractors may try to convince you that pulling your own permit can save you money, but they may do shoddy work, or in some cases, no work at all, costing you far more in the long run. Protect yourself and your investment by comparing estimates from three
gift certificates.
gets angry when I interrupt these things, but I have to go. We have a program here. We have to keep talking. Listen, y'all, in the Climate Ready Department, you may not know this, there's a whole lot of effort being made to figure out how we're going to continue to grow food when the average temperature is increasing 5 degrees every 10 years. That's a difference that means a whole lot to us, but it means a real great deal to something like a potato. And so yeah. Speaking of potatoes, this is, I love this. The University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign is one of my very favorite places. I have a relative who went to school there. This is the Carl Weiss Institute for Genomic Biology. I have no idea who he was. I can tell you that genomic biology is the cutting edge of all of that, where they're trying to figure out what's going to happen and how do the genes of a plant make that happen. Well, in this case, they've now engineered potatoes to be more resilient to global warming. 30% increase in tuber mass during heat wave conditions. That's never been the case. We've had to avoid growing potatoes when the temperatures got above about 65 degrees in the daytime, you know, forever. Suddenly, they're increasing their mass in heat wave conditions, which for them is like 75. I mean, it's not going to be like 90 right. like us. But still, I love this. It may provide more food security for people that eat potatoes, but certainly for people who grow them, it will give them more options for staying in the market. It's an interesting way to go. But these are pretty. Lisa in Clara, Mississippi has rooted her roses. She sent us pictures of the rooting. We talked about that before. I love that. They look great. And here's a real sweet one. Grandson has acorns from the City Park Oaks. What do we do with them? That City Park in New Orleans, excuse me, Audubon Park. Here's the deal. Acorns either sprout or they don't. So take a look at them. And if they've got any holes in them or they're cracked or anything like that, those are not going to sprout. Use them for art. Make something out of them. Put them into a wreath.
Right.
They're beautiful, but they're not going to sprout. Put the rest of them into some water, and the ones that float, take out. The ones that don't float are the ones that have viable seeds inside of them. So that's the way to tell how you're – to sift through your acorns to make sure you're getting what you want. But I'm serious about – using the rest of them in some kind of craft, because that's another one of those places where we get a good, strong sense of place when you have a whole bunch of acorns and formed into an ornament or into a spray or something like that. They're pretty, you know.
Much like making a powdered donut.
Much like making a powdered snowman. Donut into a snowman.
Yeah.
I would like to see them with the cotton candy hair on them.
I had the snow, the sweet snow or sugar snow, that tasted very nice.
So,
the cookie dough, and I had it was very good as well. So, yeah, I mean, I recommend if you see those, give them a try. They have a good flavor.
You know, I do learn something new every day. I had no idea there was flavored cotton candy, and much less that you could buy four or five flavors at one time in one place.
It just presented itself to me a couple of days ago.
I'm like, we're learning something new every day.
Here we go.
This is great.
Yeah.
Fun stuff. And his teeth didn't stick together. He
can
still talk, so that's good.
You have a dentist to owe for that.
That's really good news. You know, we talk about these, what we're going to do for the gifts, what we're going to give to people. And I want to propose, get yourself to the garden center. Yes, a gift certificate is a wonderful thing, but so is a fruit tree. And there are so many good choices to be had. At this time of the year, we all think about partridge in a pear tree, and a lot of people do give pear trees as a gift. I got one as a gift once in a December event. It was lovely. It lived a long time. But here's the deal. It doesn't have to be a pear tree. Think about apples. Both of these, though, in apples particularly, you do need to have another variety. They'll pollinate themselves a little bit. But for the most part, Golden Delicious is going to pollinate everybody else. So plant two of them. We have apples that will grow in zones 7, 8, and 9 that are not the same apples that you're going to grow far out into the perfect apple-growing areas. That's just the way it goes. Whether it's Arkansas black apples, it's so funny. I've eaten those all my life, but they're not – you don't find them a whole lot because they're country – quote-unquote country apples. But they are very sharp. And there are people that don't like them. There are people that feel like they are just a waste of time. I think they're delightful. Akami is another really, really good one. And Anna is probably our strongest, particularly in zones 8 and 9. But I want to know if there are people growing these older, you know, just like the Arkansas Black is a fairly old one. We've got some really cool ones. White Winter Pear Main Apple is one that I know I ate as a child, but I haven't seen that tree ever, I don't think, in my grown years. And another one that is on that same coastal plain, Yellow Bellflower Apples. So if you've got either one of those, folks, let me know. I want to hear about it. I want to know about all of that. I love, we're talking back and forth with Paula about her father's tomatoes and how much she loved them, because we've been talking about these little cuties. These are going to be a fried green tomato taco, so y'all just watch
fried
out.
Fried green. Yeah, that's
going to be real good. I'm okay. telling you, you're going to be jealous.
Take pictures of that
one. It's going to be good. It's going to be something.
Green.
We have so many choices in what we're going to grow, and I really do think that, as Paula says, she wants that high acid. Some of what we remember from our childhood and what our parents grew, it's just because they grew it, and we were there, and the memory is in us with it. So sometimes it didn't taste necessarily as perfect as it did. I probably don't like orange Jell-O with carrots in it, but when my grandmother made it, I thought it was wonderful. So, I don't think
I'm going to pass on that.
I've not encountered that one again. But,
I'm going to pass on that one.
I mean, that's just one of those things. We have memories that are attached to things, but we do have some tomatoes that are more reputed to be more high acid. But it's also really how you grow it, because if you're growing with a whole lot of fertilizer and a whole lot of water, you're not going to have as sharp a taste or as acidic a taste. If your pH is not neutral, if your pH is too acid, you're not going to have that taste. So all of those things factor into that tomato. So we keep ourselves, we're in the real world here. Chris, in Forest County says, I've got an ant bed at the base of my peach tree. What can I do? The good news is there's any number of things that will take care of that ant bed, as long as it's just that one. What you want to do is look around and make sure you're not having them pop up in other places, because if that's the case, you will need to treat the property. But you can use any product like spinosad kills fire ants. I mean, there's a bunch of things that will kill fire ants in that one setting. Spinosad is sustainable. It's not going to do anything to hurt your plant that you've got growing there. But make sure the first thing you do is go and take a look all the way around and make sure that that's not the only one. You don't want to play whack-a-mole with the ants. You know, this one pops up, this one pops up, that one pops up. Don't do that. If you have to treat the whole yard, then you have to treat the whole spot.
That is a game you will not win.
You will not.
You will not win.
They are way ahead of us. They are way ahead of us. This has been so much fun. I tell you what, y'all, we got a couple of weeks to go here in the Christmas world. We're going to try to be even a little more festive each day. Paula says she enjoyed us, and I appreciate that very much. I hope a couple other people liked it.
Thank you, Paula.
She's not working today, I can tell, because she had time to text.
Yeah, exactly.
And every now and then we get a chance to hear from people. Sometimes folks are just working, and I see them 3 weeks later, and they go, you were talking about this or that. Let me go look that up. And I look in my book, and sure enough, I did talk about that 3 weeks ago, whatever that was. And sometimes I can remember what I said, but not always. I started today, and I will continue it with letting you know that this is time to subscribe or resubscribe to All Things Garden Mama. Get in touch with me, mamaonair@yahoo.com, and come back next week. Thanks, Mark. Thanks,
you're welcome.
Lance.
Happy holidays, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
The Garden Mama Show is a production of SuperTalk Mississippi Media. Download past episodes at supertalk.fm and contact Garden Mama anytime at mamaonair@yahoo.com. Thanks for choosing the Garden Mama Show.
I'm Sammy the Shovel, reminding you how important it is to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig anywhere in or around any homeowner's yard. It doesn't matter if you're putting in a new mailbox, installing a fence, French drain, sprinkler system, even a flower bed. You need to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig, or you could end up responsible for a water line leak, utility line with gas or propane, or even worse. Safety is in your hands. Call 811 every dig, every time. You dig?
Think of all the comforts your family enjoys around your home.
When you include propane appliances throughout your home, you can have even greater comfort from endless hot water to softer clothing and cozier heat on cold winter days. With an all-propane home, you'll also enjoy greater efficiency and energy savings compared to all-electric homes. Go to PERC.com and ask why propane. The answer will be clear. Energy for everyone. Propane. Visit MSPropane.com.
Garden Mama here.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.